Oh. Now we live. Now we're live.
Hallelujah.
Where's the thing that changes the face? There we go. All right, now we live.
All right.
I hate him so much.
Are we live?
We're live.
I hate him. We're live. We got 10 people already.
Amen.
Come on, brother.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you.
Are we live?
We're live.
Oh, my goodness. And so this is the one.
Okay.
And she's speaking. And so now
you. Okay. Well, because you guys are talking, and so it's a little disruptive. Now I can't see y'all because he's there.
Okay,
all right, there you go. Hi. I can see you guys now.
Amen.
Okay. How are you guys this morning?
We are blessed.
Amen. Blessed. Amen. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this, okay? Do you find yourselves from day to day feeling run down and listless? Do you feel like you have no energy to do? Pastor Ben, be quiet. Okay. Do you find that you have no energy to do just the simple things? Do you find that sometimes, you know, even though you don't have the temptation to sin, you don't have the desire to do what God has called you to do? That's something that runs prevalent in the church today.
Yes.
And today only, I am here to tell you that it is time for you to wake up.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. We gotta wake up.
Amen.
The world has caused us to feel like we're feeling tired. And I can tell you exactly what we need to do to break it, because it is a bondage. It's a bondage because it's like you justify it. I'm not out there sinning. I'm not doing what I used to do because I'm not that same person. But today I'm tired. I don't have time to read the word. Today I'm tired. I've got the kids' soccer. I got to cook dinner. I got to go to the grocery store. Look at my living room. Lord, I got to clean up. Those things start to come to the forefront, and then God sits on the back burner. Mm-hmm. Well, this is why we feel tired, run down, and listless.
Yeah.
But for 1995, sorry, I had to do that. But the reason it happens is that we are not doing the whole thing, the whole walk. We find ourselves, and it happens. We have those seasons where we're doing part of it, and we need somebody to shake us up. We need the Holy Spirit to send down some strong winds to shake us out the tree, right? We're not doing the whole thing. We take a moment, we read a scripture, we come to church, we got one eye open, you know, we have listening Bible study. We don't share with someone. Someone comes to you with an issue and God is speaking to you about how he can help them and what he's been trying to get through to them.
Amen.
And because you're so wrapped up in what's going on up in here, you miss it.
Yeah.
And you wonder why you're tired.
Yeah.
So I want us first to turn to Romans 13 and 11. I'm sorry. Hold on. Nope. Turn back to Acts. That's the wrong one. I'm not there yet. Acts 20 and 7. I love this story. The first person to say amen, I'll start reading.
Amen.
All right. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept going, kept talking until midnight. I'm going to stop there for a second. It is midnight. Okay? It not almost. It is midnight. We are on borrowed time.
Amen.
Okay? So he kept talking until midnight. There were many lamps in upstairs in the upper room where they were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man called Eutychus. I think I said his name right, but you got it. Who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
He's alive. So don't be alarmed.
Yes.
I'm waking you up.
Yes.
Before you fall out the window.
Yes.
The thing that happened there was this young man was not engaged in the word. If we don't engage ourselves in any activity, we quickly lose interest.
Yes.
And if you are sitting,
yes,
you're going to sleep.
Amen.
Right? If you are spiritually sitting, you are going to sleep.
Amen.
This wasn't about him sinning. This wasn't about him neglecting God. He was not engaged.
Yes.
And that's what we need to do. We disengage when we allow the soccer games, the dirty dishes,
yeah,
the grocery shopping to go before our time with the Lord. We disengage when the stress of our jobs take precedence over our time on our knees.
Yeah.
We disengage when we come to the house and we say, I've heard that scripture before. I get it. I got it. Let's move on. Because you've missed something. If you can ever say that about anything you've read in the Word of God, you have missed something.
Yeah.
There is never a time that you can go back to the same scripture and say, I got it. Never a time, because there's always more. His Word continues to give.
Amen.
It continues to give. Amen.
Amen.
So when it was so funny, because you know how the Lord do me, Pastor Drea. And I'm in the shower and he's talking to me. He gives me this vitamin and vitamin commercial. And I was like, Lord, you are so funny. But I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna be transparent. He was talking to me.
Yes.
He was talking to me. And every now and again he has to remind Nicole to wake up. Wake up. You can't be so busy you don't have time for me. I thought I was your love. I thought I was your best friend. You can't get so full of everything else, and everything here is temporary. That's what you got to remember. Nothing here was made to last.
Yes.
It may have been built tough, like Ford built tough. It may be built strong, but it's not made to last.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing. So if I'm going to spend my priceless energy, it should be on something that is eternal.
Yes.
Right? Yes. If I'm going to carve out time in my schedule, let me shift some things around. It should be to engage with my daddy.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Amen. In Romans 13 and 11, and I'm sorry because it's going to be to the point, so I'm just going to go. Romans 13 and 11 in the New International Version said, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is near now than when we first believe.
Amen.
Okay. The New Living Version says, this is all more urgent for you to know how late it is. Time is running out.
Yes.
Wake up, for our salvation is near now than when we first believe.
Amen.
It is closer now than when you first got saved. It is closer now than yesterday.
Yes.
It is closer now than 10 o'clock this morning.
Yes.
It's now. This is why I say it is midnight. It's now. And the thing of it is, because some people like to go, oh my goodness, rapture. All you talk about is rapture is, he may not come today for the church, but he may come today for you.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay. Don't take for granted that you are going to live as long as your grandparents lived.
Right.
Don't take for granted that tomorrow is coming for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So it's time to wake up. We all have our moments where we just get a little lazy.
Yeah.
We get a little laid back. But we don't have time to indulge in that.
Amen.
We don't have time. You want a nap? Wait till you get to heaven. It's nice and comfortable. You know, in that mansion, because you know if he's going to make a mansion, it's going to be comfortable.
Right.
You're going to have all the amenities you need,
right?
Right?
Right. Yeah.
You need energy? the word will pick you up.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. You need something to keep going. Yeah. Fellowship. Yeah. Fellowship.
Yeah.
You need something to just, you know, I feel stale. Why don't you go and engage with another saint? I have found for me that when I feel stale, I don't have to say anything. Talk to Tahir or she's going to wake me up because the word flows, right?
Yeah.
I have found just engaging and connecting with a brother or sister, sharing the word of God, sharing what God has been spoken into them. And not only does it wake me up, it makes me a little jealous. I need to hear from the Lord like that too. Wait a minute. Because I know he can speak to me just like that.
Yeah.
I'm not foolish enough to think, oh, that's just her anointing.
Right.
No. Please don't get tripped up on somebody's anointing.
Right.
Please don't. Because the same God that lives in me lives in you.
Yes.
The same God that gives gifts freely to Pastor Ben gives them to you.
Yes.
Don't think that just because you may be a little bit shy that you can't minister.
That's right.
Don't think that just because you may be, you know, I just, you know, I'm just, this is not me. First of all, and this is what I tell my daughter all the time. God is an intelligent being.
Yes.
And an intelligent being only creates intelligent beings.
Amen.
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 So stop putting so many blockers in your way,
right,
where you are stopping the free flow of God's gifts.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It is not for you to say what you can and cannot do. He says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ. How much?
All.
Just a little bit?
All.
Wait a minute. I'm not really a good singer.
All
things. I may not be the good singer for you to hear, but to him,
he loves it.
That's all I'm saying. To him, and that's who we live for. We live for Christ.
Yeah.
We die for Christ.
Yeah.
We live for him. So when we minister, I don't care if I'm not as eloquent as Pastor Sandy. I'm not ministering for Pastor Sandy. I'm ministering for my Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And when I engage with him regularly, I find myself spiritually energized to continue the work he has called for me to do.
Yeah.
I find myself ready for the next prayer, ready for the next service, ready to go in and shine the light of Christ in the office,
right,
because I've engaged with my dad. And my dad speaks life into me each and every time.
Yeah.
My dad, even when he's correcting me, he loves me.
Yeah.
He lovingly corrects me.
Yeah.
Amen. So that energizes me and prepares me. But he says the hour has come. It is now. It is now. And take those shackles off.
Yeah.
Break yourself from the bondage of Satan.
Yeah.
Break yourself from the listlessness, from the lack of imagination.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't say I don't have an opportunity. If you are living, you have an opportunity.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah. That's why you don't want the camera.
Come on. Amen. In Ephesians 5:14, he says, wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
Amen.
Amen. He constantly gives us an opportunity to move forward in him. That's that grace.
Yeah. Your necklace is rubbing against them, right?
Here, just take it off. He constantly gives us an opportunity to move forward. You know, we stumble sometimes. Sometimes we let the flesh get the best of us, and that's because we have disengaged, pure and simple.
Yeah.
But because of his great love for us, he shakes us up.
Amen.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, my love. Wake up, my love.
Amen.
There's work to do. You don't have time to dwell on your mistakes of yesterday.
Amen.
Repent and move on. Wake up, my darling.
Yes.
This is the love of our Father. This is the love of your Father. Each and every time you get up each day, he has a plan and a purpose for you.
Yes.
But you will never know it if you continue to slumber.
Yes. Yes.
You will never recognize it. And then weeks will pass and you'll look back. And you're like, oh my goodness, what have I accomplished? What have I done? And then, of course, that's the enemy waiting right there.
Yep.
He's right there. See, you thought you were saved. See, you thought that you was a minister of the gospel and you haven't ministered to anyone. You can't minister. You are full of sin. And you're going, I know. Oh, I can't. And you're shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. And God's like, stand up.
Amen.
Stand up. You shake that off. Repent and move forward. The hour has come. You don't have time to play. You don't have time to be listless. You don't have time to waddle in your sin. You've got to move.
Amen.
Because just as the enemy is crouching at your door, I am standing and I am knocking. So either he's going to crawl in or you're going to open the door and let me in.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Whew. When I think about Romans 12 and 2 saying for us to be not be conformed into this world. Being conformed to this world means that we find ourselves desiring things more than God. We find ourselves engaging in, and I want to, as I'm talking about as Christians, we don't engage, we may not engage in the coarse gesturing, but we at the back, no laughing. That was funny, but you don't want y'all to know, I didn't know that you laughed at the joke. That's kind of engaging, just so you know. You may not verbally do it, but when you actually stand there and you let it seep into your spirit,
right,
you're engaging, right? When we conform to this world, we actually allow the things of this world to become acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. Let them do what they want to do. It's okay. Love is love. It's love. You know what? Love is love, but that ain't love.
Amen.
That's lust.
Amen.
That's debauchery.
Amen.
That is horribleness. It is filth in the sight of God.
Amen.
So while I may love you, I don't love what you do.
Amen.
That's when we are not conforming to the world.
Yeah.
We are not. There's a group that likes to go to, you know, different places, and they call themselves Christians, but they say God hates you. So we know that they're not Christians,
right,
and they protest different things. And I mean, it's really just disturbing, right? And of course, the news likes to put that out because they want to say this is a representation of the church.
Right.
They don't really put out the true love of Christ.
Right.
They like to put out the stuff that makes us look crazy,
right?
Right? But this is the thing that I think they've missed. It is not the person that God hates.
Right.
It is the sin that God hates.
Yeah.
And so if you're really trying to draw someone, you don't go at them like a bull.
Right.
You've got to draw them with love, with the love of Christ.
Yeah.
You can't go in a China shop with your baseball bat and think that every good thing's going to come out okay.
Right.
You're going to break something precious to our Father.
Amen.
You will break something precious to our Father.
Yes.
So you've got to learn to look past the sin so that you can reach the person within and pull them out.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job. Our job is to reach them in and pull them out through loving kindness.
Yes.
Amen. So when we conform to this world, we become judgmental.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, you know, call it out sin. Sin is sin. I'm not judging. I'm just calling the ace an ace.
Right.
That's not judging.
Right.
I'm talking about seeing someone, and instead of being ambassadors for Christ, we talk about their filth.
Right. Yeah.
Right. We talk about how we don't agree with their lifestyle. We don't even go to them and share with them how they can actually come out of this.
Yeah.
I remember my sister called me the other day, and she said one of her coworkers had some issues, and she's like, you know what? Until you come to Christ, it ain't gonna change.
Yes.
And sometimes we have to do that. Instead of going, you know what? She's just messed up. There's no hope for her. That's judgment.
Yeah.
We don't have a right to do that.
That's right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. When we conform to this world, we become judgmental. We treat them the way they treat us. And then you really can't tell the difference between us and them except that we carry a Bible. And that's a scary thing, right?
Amen.
So he says, be not conformed to this world. And I'm going to end it here, y'all. Be transformed. Just hold on. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right?
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about this renewing of our mind. We've talked about it over and over again. And we said, how do you renew your mind? You renew your mind in the Word of God. And that's beautiful, but that's the basic foundation.
Right.
You need more than that. So I'm going to tell you how to renew your mind.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to ask you to practice it this week.
Okay?
So, Dr. Caroline Leaf, I love her.
Yes.
She's awesome. She's an awesome neurologist. She's a beautiful woman of God. She teaches from the scientific and the spiritual side of things, right? And she talks about how to learn things. How do we learn things? We read it, we practice it, we speak it, we share it, and we reteach it.
Amen.
You want to hear? We read it, we practice it, we speak it, we share it, and then we reteach it. Whether you reteach it to yourself or someone else,
yeah,
it needs to be retaught. This is why he tells us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Because like we said in Bible study, in class this morning, in Sunday school, we recognize how important it is to come together and share the word of God. Because what I'm sitting at home marinating may not be so clear. And then to hear it comes and says something, it just brings light to that thing,
yeah,
right? It illuminates it because now it's being shared. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not just something that you do. It is scientifically proven that this is how it's going to adhere to your mind and your body. You create dendrites in your brain that will hold on to these things. When you read it, you practice it, you share it, and you reteach it.
Yes.
So when he says to be transformed, you go in that word, you read it, write it down. Write with your hand. Don't type it. Use your hand. Write it down.
Yes.
Speak it back to yourself.
Yes.
Share it with somebody else. Yes. Practice it from day to day. And then as the Lord opens up a door, reteach it. Wow. Whether you are preaching to yourself in the mirror, let me tell you what the word of God says. Whether you're doing that, it will become a part of you.
Yeah.
If you just read the word, you've missed it. It sits there for an hour, and then an hour later, it's gone. It's like Chinese food.
Right.
You're hungry again. Sitting there for an hour, and it's gone. Right? If you just read it, you miss it. If you don't go out and share it, if you don't engage in conversation, you're only going to hold on to parts of it. And that's when you start getting those weirdnesses.
Yes.
You get the weird happening because you not engaging, it's just all just spoiling in there.
Right.
And it's creating some strange moss that you call godliness.
Yes.
Right? And then everybody's going, you're a Christian? Because you're strange.
Yeah.
You know, they're saying you're strange.
Right.
Honestly. If you're not sharing it, then you're not able to see it at a 360 degree.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
You're only seeing it at just an angle. You're missing the whole picture.
Yeah.
Amen. So we can't just sit, well, I'm in my word every day, but you never go to church.
Yeah.
You never talk to anyone else about the word.
Yeah.
You never minister.
Yeah.
Amen. And even if you're standing in your mirror because you're talking to yourself, you're still only seeing it at a 90 degree angle.
Right.
You need to see it at a 360
wow.
degrees.
Yes.
You need to see his word in every aspect.
Yeah, right.
You need to see it rotating in you so that it can transform you. You cannot read the word and expect transformation
yeah.
by itself.
Right.
You've got to read it.
Action.
You've got to study it.
Amen.
You've got to share it.
Yes.
You've got to practice it.
Yes.
That's how we're transformed. That's how we become peculiar people. Amen. And we grow things in our brains. It becomes a part of you.
Yeah.
The word of God becomes a part of you. It adheres to your mortal body.
Yes.
And it makes you stronger. And it makes you bolder. That shy girl has no problem teaching the word of God.
Amen.
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 That quiet little mouse stands up and sings the praises unto our King.
Yes.
Amen. Because the word of God has adhered to you and has transformed you into his likeness
yes.
and into his image.
Yes.
So we've got to wake up.
Yes.
We've got to engage in our Father. We've got to find ourselves working out our own salvation
yes.
with fear and trembling.
Yes.
Because we don't want to look like them.
Right.
We don't want them to go, that church is the same as that church. When that church invites people who don't belong to God to come and minister.
Yeah.
Well, what's the difference?
Right.
They all gather on Sundays.
Mm.
They need to see us among the weeds.
Right.
Looking different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't pluck the weeds. Is that what we talked about?
Yes.
Don't go out there destroying the weeds. That's not your job. Your job is to plant and to water. Right. Plant and to water.
Right.
If the weeds stay, only God will destroy them.
That's right.
But we are out there among the weeds, and some of us look just like them.
Woo!
Why? Because you have not been transformed. Because you have conformed to this world.
Yeah. Amen.
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 We cannot allow the world to lull us. To lull us into sleep and slumber because we're tired. Oh my. Let go of some of those things that don't mean anything. Some of those things, I know the world says that your kids should be in school, playing an instrument, dancing, in sports, and learn another language.
At the same
time. And some of us fall into that. And so we're running from here to there, Monday through Sunday.
Right?
Running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. There's no time for you to even have devotion with your family. There's no time for you to have devotion for yourself. You do that, what was it? Take a granola bar and run.
Yep.
You just read a scripture, got it, got the word, gotta go.
Yeah.
Right? We don't let go of some of those things. Let me tell you, I didn't play a sport. I barely played an instrument, barely. I cheered for a couple of years. I actually turned out okay.
Amen.
I turned out okay. Yeah. Someone said, you know how you want your child to be top in class all the time? And they said, you know, we put a lot of pressure on our kids to excel over the other kids. But then the truth of it, if you really want to be honest and we can look at each other, it really all balances out in the end.
Yeah.
When they hit adulthood and careers, it pretty much balances out. Sometimes that straight A student really doesn't have a career to speak of.
Yeah. Right.
Sometimes that student that the teachers kept saying, you're not going to be nothing. I remember in college, they told me, you will work better with your hands. You should look for, said I had a disorganized mind.
Ooh.
And so I will work better if I look for a career where I work with my hands. This is what they told me. It was really sad.
What do you do now?
I'm an accountant.
Yeah.
I'm a really good accountant.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is because of God, not because of me. Right. Because God, He ordered my steps.
Yeah.
And because I chose to be obedient, I was able to step into that, even when the world told me, you can't do that.
Yeah.
I remember Boston when I said, I want to make X, Y, and Z. He laughed because I didn't have a degree. And I started making that still without a degree.
Yeah.
Because He ordered my steps and I stepped out.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just, we have to realize that even though we want to pour into our children so that they can look successful, we have that idea of looking better than we are. We want to make sure that in the spirit they are successful.
Yeah.
So cut out some of that nonsense.
Yeah.
Cut out some of that stuff that takes you away from Christ.
Yeah.
If it's not necessary, right? If it, some of this stuff will help them. But not all of it. Most of it's just making them tired, and then you don't have to deal with them. They got home, they did their homework, and they went to bed, and it's all my time, right? We need to actually balance our lifestyle and our family in a way that God comes first.
Yes.
So that not only are we ordering our steps, we're teaching our children to order our steps.
Yes.
Because what happens is we get them, they grow fast, and they go, and we look back and we say, oh my goodness, I missed the mark. I did not teach them enough to give them a strong enough foundation in Christ. Because I see how many of our children, once they had graduated high school, we'd stop seeing them. Not necessarily because they're busy. Some of them were busy. Some of them, but they were still serving the Lord. Many of them are gone. They're gone from the church. They're gone from Christ. Because you did not instill in them enough of a hunger and thirst for God. Why? Because you've been asleep.
Yeah.
You've slumbered.
Yeah.
You've transformed yourself, or you've conformed yourself to the world because it's easier. Because that's the way the wind blows.
Yeah.
It's always easiest to go uphill when the wind is at your back.
Right.
Right? That's always the easiest.
Amen.
But for us saints, we've got to go against the wind of this world every single time.
Yeah.
But I promise you, if you do it, you will build muscle. You will build endurance. You will build perseverance.
Yes.
Amen. And you will find yourself transformed into the image of your dad.
Yes.
You will find yourself transformed into the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
No longer do you slumber. No longer do you find yourself listless and tired, but you are energized to do all that God has called you to do.
Amen. Amen.
It is time, saints. It is time for us to get off our do nothing and do what God has called us to do.
Yes.
Do it, even if you are the only one.
Yeah, amen.
Do it.
Right. Amen.
Do it. If it causes strife, you know you're doing the right thing.
Yes.
So it's not you causing strife.
Right.
It's that little creature crouching at the door.
Right.
If you know what God has spoken into your heart, do it.
Amen.
Get up, shake the dust, clear the cobwebs, brush your teeth, and do it.
Amen.
Please brush your teeth. Hallelujah. I'm going to end with this, and I'm really done. Charles Spurgeon, he's saying, let me make sure I read this. From Ephesians 5 and 2, he says, walk in love as Christ. This is a scripture, Ephesians 5 and 2.
Yes.
Walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. So Charles Spurgeon says, with the path to walk in love. What a well-paved way it is, because Christ is love. As Amen. Christ also has loved us, what a blessed person for us to follow in that divine royal road. It would have been hard for us to tread this way of love if it had not been for the blessed feet that marked the tracks for us. We are to love as Christ also hath loved us. And the question which often is solved difficulties is, what would Jesus do in my case?
Yeah.
What would he have done that we may do? Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us.
Yes.
If we want to know how far that love may carry, we need not to be afraid of going too far in self-denial.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah.
That's deep. If you want to know how far God's love will carry you, don't be afraid of how far you're going to go in self-denial. Denying yourself the things of this world.
Yes.
Letting go of those corruptible things.
Yes.
Don't worry about how far. Is it too far? Nope. How far is too far? It's not too far when it comes to Christ. And how well paved that road has been for us.
Yes.
It is carved out. His road of love has been carved out so clearly, so deep, that you can walk on it. But you've got to be willing to give up something. You've got to be willing to wake up. And you've got to be willing to be transformed.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
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 Yeah.